All right. The topic here is Shlichu Sayu, the din of when we don't have mumchin, how we try to allow our batei dinim to pask in the shailas that typically a bezin of smuchim is required for. Okay, so as a little background, there seems to be, in general, a requirement to have dayonim who are smuchim, okay, or mumchin. We'll use them interchangeably here. And this seems to speak to three different rationales in halacha. Okay, the first indication of a requirement for mumchin, okay, the Torah says Elohim, 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 three judges. And this seems to speak to the fact that the actual psak din, the actual psak, is only effective if it's issued by somebody who has smicha. Okay, this is the source of Nikra Balabais El Elohim. The Ran in the beginning of Sanhedrin points out that if you want to try to get rid of smuchin for Hodos Valvos because of Nilas Deles, then you already have to appeal to Hefker Bezen Hefker. Right, that speaks to the fact that you're bypassing a psak din and you're using some other koach to initiate to validate the change in assets. Okay, so for the actual psak din, you need mumchin. A second area where we find the requirement of mumchin is in terms of being kofe the din on the litigant. Okay, to impose the psak on the nidon. So Tosfos here in Daf Gimel Amud Beis already has this idea. He asks, why do we need Elohim in the parsha of Mishpatim and the Gzeres HaKosev of Lefnehem Velo Lefnei Hedyotos? And he says, because we're dealing with two dinim. The first is, as we mentioned, for the psak din itself. The second is in terms of kfiya. Okay, if you want to be able to impose your psak on the litigants, you have to be a bezin shel mumchin. Okay, so it's about imposition, no longer about the etzem psak itself. The third area where we find the requirement of mumchin, this is pointed out by the Ramban in the beginning of the third parak, and the Ran on Daf Gimel, is with respect to din kavod of dayanim. It's almost as if the Torah sets it up that the dayanim and the courts are supposed to be held in very high regard. It's a din of kavod. We also find that they have to be gadol bekoma v'mare, that there's some like aesthetic consideration to the dayanim. So too is the din kavod that you should only be going to courts of mumchin and turning away from courts of hedyotos. Okay, so the Ran says that let's say even if you could bypass the legal question of whether the psak is effective, i.e., you have kiblu alai. Okay, so you say it's arbitration, I'm accepting your psak, even if it's against Din Torah, let's say. So that bypasses the first two considerations. You're accepting the psak, and there's no issue of kfiya. Nonetheless, there's still an isser both on the dayanim and on the litigants, mishum kavod hadayanim. Okay, so that's also an area where we care about this din of smicha. Okay, the Ramban calls it keser hamumchin. Okay, so that's the background to our discussion. So it's clear, in general, you need mumchin. The second area I want to discuss is when can we get away with not having mumchin? Okay, when can we bypass this obligation? So the first appears already in the Gemara in the beginning of the first parak. According to Racha Breid Ravika, okay, that midaraisa chad nami kasher, it seems that the Torah doesn't require mumchin for cases of hodas valvos. Okay, this is pointed out explicitly by the Ktsos in Simen Gimel, Sif Aleph, Sif Katan Aleph. The Ktsos Bidas HaRambam in Perek Beis of Hilchos Sanhedrin Halacha Yud, the Ktsos says that if you hold like Rav Acha Breid Ravika, that means you don't hold of Erev Parshios. You don't have Erev Parshios, and there's no chiv of mumchin meikara. Yes, we have a Doraisa case where you don't require mumchin for Dine Mamanis. That's one instance. The second example comes from the Mabit in Kiryas Sefer in Hilchos Sanhedrin Parakei. The Mabit holds that when we don't have mumchin around anymore, so then the Torah itself already was mevatel the requirement for smuchin. Okay, so it's not like we need to create some sort of legal fiction to allow our piskei din to be effective. So the Torah built it in. The Torah says when you have mumchin, you require mumchin. When you don't have mumchin, there's no longer requirement. Okay, read you the lashon very quickly. V'chein afilu below smicha, near midaraisa, done in dinim b'chutz laretz. Afilu b'davar she'eno matzoi b'dini eretz Yisrael. Divizman she'ein smicha kulan shavin v'akol holeich achar ha'chachma. Okay, so vizman there's no smicha, so all you care about is the chachma of the dayanim. A third area where we're a third instance we're able to bypass the requirement of smuchim comes from the Moshe of Zkenim in Parshas Mishpatim at Shmos Perek Chaf Aleph. Lefneiam v'lo lefnei hadyotos. Moshe of Zkenim has a big chiddush that the whole requirement of smuchim in Torah is only din lechatchila. Okay, but b'di'eved, if you're done in front of hadyotos, the psak din is effective. Okay, we don't know if the Moshe Abzakenim holds that it's just a din in kavod, or it's like a din maybe in kfiya. We don't know the mechanism as to why the Torah requires mumkin according to him. What we do know is that the Torah only is mechayev lechatchila in the first place. Okay, b'diavad, mumkin are never ma'akev. Okay, and a fourth area where we're able to do away with the requirement of mumkin is in the cases of midrabanan, where the Gemara itself tells you that we have a legal fiction to get around it. Okay, so that could either be like we find in the beginning of Sanhedrin, Mishum Nilas Deles, like Hodos Valvos, or it could be like we find in later on in Gittin and in Bava Kamma, the concept of Shlichus Ayin. Okay, so these are cases where the Torah seems to require Mumchin, and yet midrabanan we have some sort of loophole to allow Hadyotos to be done effectively. Okay, so these are four cases where we could bypass the requirement of Mumchin. So now we turn to consider this last instance, the question of when we have the legal loopholes. So here we'll turn to the question of the applications of Shlichus Ayu. Okay, when is it clear in the Gemara that we could claim that we're the shluchim of the Mumchin, and therefore claim that we have the same koach that they would have to judge? So what are examples? The first clear instance is from the Gemara in Gittin on Pechesim Abeis. Context is Kfiya Beget. Abaya found Rav Yosef that he's Ma'asa Agitin. He says, how could you force a get? The Gemara itself says that if you force a get Shalok Kedin, the get is possible. He says, no, this is considered a Kfiya Kihalacha, because Anan Shlichu Sayu Klavdinan. Okay, we have the power of Mumchin, so we have the power to be Kofa Gitin. Okay? So we have a clear instance in the Gemara in Gittin on Pechesim Abeis that we can invoke Shlichu Sayu for Kfiya Beget. The second example comes from the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Pei Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara there is discussing Nizikin, Nizke Shor B'Shor, Nizke Shor B'Adam. And the Gemara there goes back and forth. It lays out a very clear criteria. Anytime you have a Milsa D'Shchicha, anytime you have a Davar D'Isbe Chesron Kis, you could invoke Shlichus Ayu. Okay, that's how the Gemara lays it down. So we have another clear instance in the context of Nizikin. A third area, this doesn't appear in the Gemara, but the Rishonim debate whether this category is applicable, is with respect to Geirus. Okay, and here we'll see five variations on this idea. Tosfos Gittin Pechesim Abeis, Divrei Maaschil B'Milsa, holds that we can invoke Shlichus Sayu to convert Geirim B'Zman HaZeh. Okay, we require Mumchin for conversions. It's considered as if we have Mumchin B'Zman HaZeh based off Shlichus Sayu. On what grounds are we able to invoke this? The Tosfos says that Geirus is considered a Milsa D'Shchicha. I don't know, it's not clear, right? Where's the Chesron Kis when it comes to Geirus? Right, so Tosfos here is already assuming that Milsa D'Shchiach is a sufficient condition on its own. Even though from the Gemara in Bava Kamma, which is the makar for these criteria, it seems like you require both Milsa D'Shchiach and Hafsid Mamun.
It's a riot that Jewish people make more money.
What?
It's a riot that Jewish people make more money.
Yes, I was thinking about that. But here it sounds like you'd have to make money off the ger, right? Because chesron kiss for who?
Sounds like we should charge for ger.
Chesron kiss for the ger, or chesron kiss for the Jewish community?
No, unless there's a Jewish community which is charging greater taxes or something to those who are.
I mean, they could charge because they could charge taxes on their own population.
No, they just charge for gers in general.
Here, I don't know.
First meal costs money.
I can't say chesron kiss for the ger, Makreo.
Right, so you have to say Lemafre, but even Lemafre, Gershon's got Katan Shanel dummy, so what's the previous history
here? In all seriousness, maybe you don't have to say that Tosfos holds that Shkiach is sufficient on its own, but he just holds that Chesron Kis is only relevant when it's like applicable in the case. I mean, if you have a case of being Imamanos, right, and there's no Chesron Kis, that's a problem.
Interesting. So how do you know that Milsa D'Shkiach is Shayach even outside being Imamanos?
Milsa D'Shkiach is just like Shayach all the
case. We'll see that Ron disagrees. The Ron says explicitly that Milsa D'Shchiach is only Shaykh to Mamanus. Okay? But yeah, so it's not clear. Tosfos here is assuming that once you have Shchicha, then Milsa D'Shchiach, then it's sufficient. Okay? The second variation on this idea comes from Tosfos in Yevamos Memvav Mebeis. Tosfos there also says we can invoke Shlichus Sayu for Geirus. But there already shies away from Milsa D'Shchiach, and he says, Kadesh lo tinal delos bifnei Geirim. Okay, we don't want to turn away Geirim from Klal Yisrael. So here it seems, maybe sure, this is what you're suggesting already, we're dropping the criteria of Dine Mamanis and are already saying that, we can invoke other Svaras to appeal to Shlichus Ayu. Right? A third.
Here at this fire, we also apply the dinim amanus.
What?
Nidat delas, we also apply the dinim amanus.
But nidat delas bifnei lovin is a dinim amanus svara. Right here, it's a what's nidat delas bifnei gerim, and it's like, what's the problem?
Yeah, then that's not relevant to my previous comment. That's just saying that we're invoking seeing the dinim amanus concept and not the dinim amanus keeps.
Yeah.
I was saying that the dinim amanus concept is applicable only to the dinim amanus keeps.
I hear. Let me give a third variation on this idea. This comes from the Ran in Gittin. This is the Ran al Arif. On Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis in the Daf Arif. Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, 49b, in the Daf Arif. And he says, Geirus is a milsa delo shchicha against Tosas in Gittin. So how could you invoke shlichusayu? He says, no. You only need milsa de shchicha for dine mamanis. Aval, quote, l'hachnis adam tachas kanfei ashchina. Okay, the consideration of being machnes somebody takas kanfei ashchina, that's already a deeper consideration than milsa d'shchicha. So it sounds like he's already invoking kal v'chomer. If we're willing to invoke milsa d'shchicha for dinei mamonis, kol shekein we're willing to invoke l'hachnes adam takas kanfei ashchina for geirus. Okay. Now it's kind of interesting. Could you offer a common theme to all these different rationales? Right, either invoking milsa d'shchiach that chesron kis, or invoking k'dei shleitin adeles, or invoking also this idea of the Ran. What's the basic theme here?
Are we saying the Ran is different than the Tosfos about the adeles, or?
You know, it's not clear. I have here a suffix whether it's two ways of formulating the same thing, but my instinct was that they're actually different. If I had to characterize the difference, I would say that Nilas Deles is an issue that like the system is not working the way it's supposed to be. Right? So Torah is set up that we should be able to mekabel geirim, and Nilas Deles means that the reality right now isn't conducive to that. Right? So we kind of have to put in something to make the system work again. Okay? What the Ran is saying is not necessarily that like it's a problem how the system is working, but that this is like there's such a pressing need for this that like we override the status quo. That's how I see the distinction. Okay. The Tosas in Kiddushin on Samech Beis and Mebeis, okay, they have a first day that also suggests that we can invoke Shlichus Sayu, but the day that they quote B'Shem Rabbeinu Nathanael disagrees. Okay, he holds you cannot invoke Shlichus Sayu for a Geirus. Instead, we appeal to the fact that the Torah says L'dor Seichem for conversions. It's clear that you won't always have Mumchin. So Mamela, you can prove that Bizman Hazeh, you could accept Geirim without Mumchen. Okay? Geirus has to be for perpetuity. Bizman Hazeh, there are no Mumchen. Clearly, the Torah allowed you to do away with Mumchen when it comes to Geirus. Okay? That's the argument of Rabbeinu Nathanael. It occurs to me now that according to the Rambam, this wouldn't be a good raya at all, right? According to the Rambam, you'll just say that the Torah says you always have the capacity for Mumchen, because the Torah allows you to recreate Smicha. Right, that's the Lederer Seichem. Right, so maybe you could have a riot here that Tosos disagrees with the Rambam's Chiddush HaSmicha. I'm serious, right? Isn't that it's a good riot? Otherwise, Lederer Seichem would just mean that you always have the capacity for Mumchen.
You need actual practical ability to have here, not just like theoretical ability to create Smicha.
This is a Chiddush. This is the first time there's a preference in this classroom for actual practical over theoretical idealism. Tell that you miss Shear this year, every now and then.
I'm just kidding.
A fifth variation on this idea comes from the Meiri. What?
You keep reusing the same material.
I know, I mean the same joke. I only have one insult in my arsenal. It's not like that. So I have to reuse the same one.
It's the only one that applies to
you. That's true. Unbelievable. If it was during the day and I still was sharp after breakfast and waking up an hour before Chazar Shir, then I'd be on my toes.
Breakfast to meet your goal odds.
Sure, unbelievable. It's like you only have a sense of humor at night. Okay. A fifth variation on this idea comes from the Meiri in Gittin. The Meiri seems to hold that really you do require mumchin for geiros. Okay? But he says, since all you require for geiros is kabbalas ha-mitzvos, so everyone is considered a mumche le'inyan zeh. It'd be very big chiddush. It'd be saying that we could have, we could have different gradations of the shame mumcha. Okay, so with respect to deciding a dinei mamonis case, so then there's like a very select few who are considered mumchen. But when it comes to just being modia mitzvos to a ger, then all bnei Yisrael are considered mumchen l'inyan zeh. Okay, that's a suggestion from the Meiri and Gittin. A fourth area of halacha where we see the din of shlichusayu. So the first two, again, we see gittin, we see with respect to kfiya, we see it in nezikin in the Gemara in Bava Kama Pedalid, and we see it also in geiros in the Rishonim. A fourth area where we see the application of shlichusayu, okay, it's mentioned in the Gemara gittin. The Gemara says anan shlichusayu avdinan midi dehave ahudas v'alvos. That's the lashon of the Gemara. Right, so we could do shlichusayu just like for hodas v'alvos. Okay, this is very problematic because Gemara is implying that the heter for hadyotos in hodas v'alvos is shlichusayu, okay, and this seems l'chora to be so said the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Gimel, where the Gemara says that the heter of hadyotos is mishum ni'ilas delos b'fnei lovin. Okay. So it seems prima facie to be a stira between the Gemaras. Okay, Rashi and Gittin on pechesem beis. Rashi on that line in the Gemara says, "Midi dehave adine mamanis dehavos dehavos davdinan shlichusayu." Okay, so Rashi there is explicit that we appeal to shlichusayu in the heter of hodas v'havos. Rashi soser himself in Sanhedrin Yud Gimel Beis. The Gemara says, "What is smicha?" It says, "We give him rishus to don dine knasos kaminon le bishma." Right, and what's the third one? And something else, something bishma. Okay, it's not clear if bishma is the same as kamina le'rabi. So Rashi there says, why is the only nafkamina of smicha to be dan dine knasos? So Rashi says, read it to you. Lamidan dine knasos, Elohim ksiv, demashma dayanin mumchin, v'hainu smuchin. Uveshar dine mamonis lo binan mumchin. Why? Because we say in the first parak mishum nilas deles. Okay, so for hodos vavels we say nilas deles. Behecha deleka nilas deles kegon bedalat shomer mugzelos deleka smuchin deshlichusayu kavdinan. Okay, so Rashi here says, look, the heter for hodos vavels is nilas deles, but when there's no nilas deles, then you invoke shlichusayu. Okay, the clear implication from this Rashi is that the heter for hodos vavels is not based off shlichusayu. Okay, so it's a steer between Rashi and Sanhedrin and Gimel and Rashi and Gittin Peches and Beis. Okay. According to Rashi and Sanhedrin and Gimel, that the heter for Hedyotos and Hodos Valvos is Mishum Nilas Delas and not Mishum Shlichusayu. How do you explain the Lashon HaGemara Midi Dehave Ahodos Valvos when we're explaining Shlichusayu? So you have to say that the Gemara just means that just like we got rid of Mumchin in Hodos Valvos through Nilas Delas, so too, we'll get rid of mumchin for nezikin through shlichusayu. Okay, I mean, the Gemara is appealing to different rationales. The only commonality is that we're using some sort of takhana drabanan to get rid of mumchin. Okay. Whereas, if you read like Rashi and Gittin on Peches and Beis, then the Gemara reads much more smoothly, right? Just like we invoke shlichusayu for hodos v'alvo, so too we'll invoke shlichusayu for nezikin. A third shita. Okay, and this is actually could work as an explanation for Rashi and Gittin Peches, is the Rashba in Gittin Peches and Beis. Rashba says, look, the Iker Taima the Avdinan Shlichusayu is Mishum Nilas Delas. Right? So why are we invoking Shlichusayu? Because of Nilas Delas. But what's the mechanism through which we're able to do away with the requirement of Mumchen? It's Shlichusayu. Okay, we're claiming to be the agents of the Mumchen. So the mechanism is Shlichusayu. The reason or the motivation is Nilas Delas. A fifth area in Halacha where we appeal to Shlichusayu, and again this is also a machlokas amongst the Rishonim, is with respect to Gzeilos v'Chabalos. We just saw in Rashi and Sanhedrin Yud Gimel Beis that the basis, right, the reason why it's only nafkamina for Mumchin is Knasos, is because we get rid of the requirement of Mumchin for Gzeilos v'Chabalos through Shlichusayu. Okay, so Rashi in Sanhedrin Yud Gimel is very clear that we're invoking Shlichu Sayu to be done Gzeilos Chavalos without Mumchim. Okay. It's Rashi Shita. Tosos on Daf Gimel Amid Aleph in Sanhedrin. Tosos here is not sure about this Chiddush of Rashi. Tosos has three deos. He says, how could it be, if it's clear from the Gemara that you require Mumchim for Gzeilos, how could there be so many cases in Shas where we're done Dine Gzeilos in Bavel? It's against the Mefurash HaHalacha that you require Mumchim. So Tosos' first day is that all these cases are Alidei Tfisa. It's a case where one of the litigants was Tofes the Devar HaNigzal first. And that's the only Heter to be done Dine Gzeilos. The second day in Tosos is that all the cases in the Gemara is where they're Kovei Adina Beretz Yisrael. They told the litigants that you guys have to travel to Eretz Yisrael to be done in a court of Mumchim. And then one of the litigants was recalcitrant and refused to go. So then they're able to put a Shamta and a Nidway on him. Okay? And the only way they're able to get the object back is through this Nidway. So according to both of these days in Tosfos, Lamaskana, there's no way of donning Dina Gzeilos and Bavel unless you have the trick of Tfisa or Ikva Dina Beretz Yisrael. Tosfos' third day, massive Kiddush, is that the only time we're not able to be done Dine Gzeilos in Bavel is for Gzeilos Ayidei Chavalos. Okay, if it was a theft through an injury. Okay, why? Because those cases are Lo Shchiach. Okay, meaning, Tosfos here is arguing that you could have a heter to Dan Dine Gzeilos in Bavel, because Gzeila itself is an instance of what the Gemara said of Kol Davar Sheyesh Bo Chetzer and Kis, and it's Shchiach, you could be done in Bavel. According to this last day in Tosos, standard Gzeila v'chavala is Mutter al Yidei Shlichusayu. So, Kirtney, how would you explain the Lashon of the Gemara? The Lashon of the Gemara says, the Gemara said, Hodos Lavos, we have Shlichusayu. But the Gemara said, why don't you say the same thing for Gzeilos v'chavalos? And the Gemara says, no, Dafka by Milsa Dishchiach v'yesh b'chesr and kiss.
He wasn't Shchiach at that point.
What? Okay, so you might say that. That's like a nice, that's a nice hesper. Okay, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see the Rishonim say that. That's the Yadar Ma. We'll get to that in a minute. But maybe you could have. This is what Tosfos is suggesting. How does Tosfos explain that line in the Gemara?
Gemara is specifically referring to Gzeilos v'chavalos.
Yeah, like Gzeilos v'chavalos is a conjunction. It's a conjunction of an and, right? Gzeilos and chavalos in the same case. As opposed to reading it as a distributive or, right? Typically, you read it as hodos vavos, meaning hodos or havos, versus gzeilos chavalos, meaning gzeilos or chavala.
So why are there two different answers in Tosos then? Why is it the second and third answer in Tosos?
Really? No, the second answer in Tosos is ikva dina beretz Yisrael. Really, you can't be done. Right? It's only the last answer in Tosos where it says gzeilos ayidei chavalos. So he's reading gzeilos v'chavalos as a conjunction defining that specific case is gzeilos and chavala together. That's a very sharp reading of the Gemara. Sure, you understood that in Tosos? That's how he's reading it?
That's not how I understood it.
How else do you understand why is he making up Gzeilos Ayidei Chavalos then?
I like it.
Where does it come from?
I like it.
Right? Yeah. So he's reading Gzeilos V'Chavalos as a conjunction. Very big Kiddush. Okay. But here you have the Machlokes Rishonim based off the ambiguity of Tai Ching the Vav.
Like,
well? It's Pashup Shad and Tosos. There's no other way to understand it. I don't understand how you read it otherwise.
You've gone too put now, and now it's Pashup Shad and Tosos. There's no other way to read it.
How else would you read it? Take a stab at it. I'm listening.
I'm the Adar Amar. I'm a change.
In Tosos, where does Tosos get the category of Gzeilos Ayidei Chavalos from? What?
You
thought it was Dvarim Shabbatim Yilibam?
Libam Amru.
Libi Oimer, yeah.
You can't just say it's Gzeilos v'Chavalos and Chavalos? And maybe Chavalos are also not Shkiach?
What do you mean? Gzeilos?
Gzeilos, Ayidei Chavalos, but that's all in Gzeilos, and then Chavalos separate.
Oh, you want to read Tosos that way? And it's just like, I don't know. Okay, so it's not the only way to read Tosos. Okay? But it's pretty dachuk way to read it. So I think this is what Tosos has in mind. Tosos has in mind that Gzeilos Ayidei Chavalos is what the Gemara means when it says Gzeilos v'Chavalos. Okay? So we have Rashi and Sanhedrin Yud Gimel Beis, who holds this way. that you can, you're invoking Shlichu Sayu for Gzeiras HaChavalos. We have Tosis in Sanhedrin Gimel Amud Aleph, in his third day, who is also invoking Shlichu Sayu to explain Gzeiras HaChavalos. A third shita is put forth explicitly by the Piskei Harid in Gittin Peches and Beis. The Harid just changes the gears on the Gemara there. He says that the Gemara didn't mean to say Gzeiras VeChavalos. The Gemara meant to say Chavalos uKnasos. So we no longer have the evidence in the Gemara because the Rish is saying that the Girsa really is referring to Chavalos uKnasos, no longer Gzeilos. A fourth Shita is also, it's again, another a similar Shita is put forth by the Yad Ramah in Sanhedrin Gimel Amud Aleph. He says, don't think that we only have a Heter for Hegiotos and Hodelos V'Avalos, because you have the same Heter for Gzeilos V'Chavalos. And here the Yad Ramah has two Deyas. Okay. Either there are two separate takanos. There's a takana of hodos v'halvos mishum ilas delas, and then later they made a separate takana of kol davar shchiach v'espe chesron kis. We're going to be matir with hedyodos mipnei tikkun olam. Okay. So either there are two separate takanos, or he says, meaning, i.e., there's a takana of Sanhedrin gimel amud aleph of ni'ilas delas. Plus a later takana of Sanhed of Bava Kama, Peidalad Amud Aleph of Shlichu Sayu, or this is what's interesting, is that there was a single takana of Kol Davar Sheish Bo Chesar and Kis V'Shchiach were going to be done. Initially, that only applied to Hodos V'Havos because those were the only things that were Shchiach, and later on, as there started to be more fighting, etc., so then Gzeilos V'Havos also became Shchiach, but there was one takana. And what's interesting is that that one takana, according to the Yad Ramah, is the takana really of Shlichu Sayu. Meaning the real takana is the Gemara in Bava Kama Peidal. It was Chesron Kes and Davar Shchiach. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Gimel Amud Aleph is just a specific instance of that general takana. Good. So these are the five instances that we have in the Gemara, and the Rishonim about where we could apply Shlichu Sayu. We have the case of Isui Begitin, the case of Nezikin Shar B'Shor and Bavakam Peidalin. You have the Dinim in the Rishonim about Geirus. You have the Dinim in the Rishonim about Hodos V'Avos, and the Dinim in the Rishonim about Gzeilos V'Chavalos. Okay. So here we turn to a fourth area of consideration. And now we're trying to characterize more basically what is the nature of Shlichu Sayu. Okay, not just its applications and its scope. So the first major question is whether Shlichu Sayu is going to work to Araisa or Drabana. Do we mean to say that the Torah created this heter of agency? Or are we saying that this is a way that Drabanan were able to cope with not having Mumfin? Let's just point out that this is a different question from already the discussion raised by the Mabit. Right? The Mabit is saying that there are times when Mumchin doesn't make a difference. Right? The Torah built into the fact that when you don't have Mumchin, then you no longer need Mumchin. Here we seem to be asking a different question. Right? When could we be claiming to be the Shluchim of Mumchin themselves? Okay. Not a din built in that the only requirement for Mumchin is when you have them. Okay, v'haraya, the simple case of the Gemara is where you have Mumchen in Eretz Yisrael, and the Hedyotos in Bavel are serving as the Shluchim of those Mumchen. Okay, so the classic case of Shlichu Sayu is a case where you have Mumchen around, which is against what the Mabit is suggesting. The Mabit is suggesting is that his Heter is only when you have no Mumchen around Bavel. So is it the Reis or Jabanan? The Ramban in Yevamos... What? Is Shlichu Sayu something that is created by the Torah or something that's created by the Rabbanan?
So we're not arguing whether it has power in the Reis?
No, because then you could say Hefker Bazin Hefker has power in the Reis also.
Okay, so we want to know if it's like Hefker Bazin Hefker. So we want to know if it's like Hefker Bazin Hefker.
I mean, we want to know whether it's like Hefker Bazin Hefker or whether it's like a regular din of adjudication. Right? That's how I'd set it up. What else did you have in mind?
No.
What? No. You're in agreement. Okay, yeah.
Wait, what makes you say the main case is where there's Mukim and Eretz Yisrael?
That's the case in the Gemara, and when they're discussing about Shlichus Ayu, the Rishonim all assume standard Shlichus Ayu is Shlichus Ayu divin Eretz Yisrael anan. We're the Shluchim of the Mumchen in Eretz Yisrael. Gemara in Gittin and the Gemara in Baba Kama. Right? We'll see, Tosfos has a chiddush to extend Shlichus Ayu, but that's only an extension of the paradigm. The paradigm is the case when you have Mumchen in Eretz Yisrael. And that's the Lashon Rish, and not Shlichus Ayu divin Eretz Yisrael. Kav Dinan. Okay. So the Ramban in Yivamos Amen Babma base, the quotes the position of Tosfos. Okay, Tosfos had suggested that we could use Shlichusayu for Geirus. Ramban says, fine, that Shlichusayu would work nicely for Gittin and Kedushin because of Kol Demekadesh Adai to Drabana Mekadesh. Right? I.e., Shlichusayu is Drabanan. But you could create a Raisa result through Afkin Rabbanan and Kedushin Mine. Or similarly, the Rashba there notes, Shlichusayu could work as a drabanan din for Dine Mamanis, because you can invoke Hefker, Bezen, Hefker. Okay, so you could have deraisa consequences for Mamanis and for Hefkoas Kedushin through these tricks. Okay, but Shlichusayu itself is drabanan. The Ramban himself says this is a tema gedola, because even though you could be Mafkia Kedushin, how are you going to be Matir, Ager, drabanan to marry a Bas Yisrael? Right? There's no trick to allow a non-Jew midoraisa to marry a Yisrael. So he says it's really untenable to suggest that Shlichusayu is at work in Geirus. Okay, so the Ramban seems to reject the position of Tosfos altogether. The Ramban himself holds here that Shlichusayu is drabanan, but Shlichusayu can't be the basis of the heter of Geirus. It has to be some internal geirus chiddush, and he appeals to that idea of Rabbeinu Nisanel v'doros seichem v'hartzas damim. At the Gemara itself says that when you don't have a karbon, you could do geirus without a karbon. Okay. Ramban at the end of the piece has a little note, and he says, "Oh, maybe Shema, you'll say that shlichusayu itself is deoraisa, and that'll resurrect the position of the Balei Tosfos." Okay, and there's a whole din that we had in Shir. Does the Ramban hold the maskana that it's deoraisa or drabanan? Okay, so the Ramban in most of the piece assumes that it's Drabanan. In the very end, he says maybe it's Daraisa. From the Ramban al HaTorah in the beginning of Parsas Shoftim, okay, the Ramban seems to hold pretty clearly that Shlichusayu is Drabanan. Okay, he has the Lashon of Takanta de Shlichusayu. Okay. If you look at the Encyclopedia Talmudis, when they quote this Ramban, they change the Lashon a little bit. Okay, the Ramban says Mishum Takanta de Shlichusayu, and he says the Rabbanon Asu Takanta de Shlichusayu. Okay, he throws in that the Rabbanon are the ones who created the Takana. And the Ramban itself, maybe you could have said that as a Daraisa Takanta. I don't know how comfortable anybody is suggesting that. That it's a Takanta of the Daraisa. But the simple pshat here is that the Ramban is holding it's the Takanta meaning Drabanon. More importantly, the Ramban himself says that Hashta Bizmana Zeh, that we no longer have Smuchin. Batlu amishpatim. Right, Ramban says that all of our dinei Torah are batal midoraisa because we no longer have mumchen. If shlichusayu was a din doraisa, so then why should batlu amishpatim bizman hazeh? Right, the appeal to shlichusayu should resurrect doraisa dinim. Okay, so it seems like the Ramban holds that it's drabanan. The Nesivis in Choshen Mishpat Aleph quotes the Ramban as holding that it's all drabanan. He's the according to the Nesivos, the Ramban is the Baal Hashita that Shlichusayu is Drabanan. Okay, the Nesivos also adds in that he thinks that the Rayos from the Gemara, the distinctions of Chetzer and Kist and Milsa Deshchicha, also imply that Shlichusayu is Drabanan. And the Nesivos himself backtracks, and he says, "Oh, but it's a Pella. How could it be effective only Drabanan? So maybe it's the Raisa and Masra Kost of Lechachamim. Okay, so maybe the Torah built in this Koach of the Chachamim." To have the Raisa Shlichus. Just that, the Torah gave the Chachamim the right to determine when they want to apply it. And the Chachamim said, ah, Milsa de Shchicha and Chesron and Kis. Okay? So Pashup Pshat in the Ramban is that it's Drabanan, with the Ramban's maybe about face in the end of the Chidushim and Shas. The Nesivis certainly holds the Ramban, holds his Drabanan. The Nesivis himself wants to suggest that it could be the Raisa. Here we move to a fifth question. Very kind of a side question. When can we apply shlichusayu? Okay, so the simple pshat from the Gemara is that you could really only apply shlichusayu when you have mumchin in Eretz Yisrael. Then you're claiming to be the agents of Eretz Yisrael because they're the shluchim. Or they're the mashalchim. Tosos and Gittin on Peches and Beis has the big chiddush that even Bizmana Zed, that there are no dayanim in Eretz Yisrael, we could say that shlichusayu de kamoy avdina. There's like a, unlike the case in the Gemara, where at least there's temporal symmetry, right? You're dealing with the same time, just there's like some sort of spatial incongruence. So Tosus wants to say that you could have shlichusayu even when there's some sort of temporal asymmetry. That's a very, very big chiddush. Like, where do you have a case like that where you could say that you're the shliach of somebody who pre-existed you? What? You're fine. Shlich is lachar misa, which is not so clear if you could have, right? Chokos Rishonim. Saying on the tzaddik, shlich is lachar misa, fine. Guys, that's less of a chiddush even, because there at least you have a clear minui mechaim. Right here, we're saying that even the minui is lachar misa.
There's an implicit minui. Right? For anyone who wants to be mishamish b'kasher mumchen, they can.
Yeah, it's very, very, very mechudish idea to suggest that, right? So this is what we're suggesting in Shir, okay? And this is a big chiddush, but I guess it's not necessarily a bigger chiddush than Tosfos and Gittin himself. We were saying that shlichusayu d'bnei Eretz Yisrael doesn't even mean that we're the shluchim of the geographic member batei dinim in Eretz Yisrael. It means like we're the shluchim of the tzibur, like we're entrusted with the betterment of the tzibur b'nei Yisrael, and so we're not shlichusayu of a particular bezin in Eretz Yisrael. We're the shlichusayu of Gans Klal Yisrael. And that's what we suggested in Shir. It's a big chiddush, and it's also a big chiddush because then Tosos is not really arguing that we could use the paradigm of shlichusayu b'nei Eretz Yisrael to a case of shlichusayu d'kamoi, but really it's all the same principle. Okay. It is a case when you have one chiddush applied to another chiddush, you don't have two chiddushim, you actually have you're left with only one chiddush. Right? According to this chiddush, the chiddush of Tosos is no longer a chiddush. Here we move to a sixth area of discussion. Okay, what is shlichusayu? What is the purpose of shlichusayu? Okay, what halachic problem is shlichusayu meant to obviate? So according to the Rashba and Gittin, very explicit, we saw, shlichusayu is the mechanism through which we're able to paskin the dinim. Right? The rationale or the motivation is nilas deles. Shlichusayu is a legal principle which allows us to implement it. Okay. The Ramban and the Ran disagree. The Ran is in the beginning of the Masechta, the Ramban is in the beginning of Zeborer. They think that shlichusayu here is meant to obviate the problem of kavod for the dayanim hamumchin. Right, the Torah holds that even in a case of kibul alai, okay, even if you could obviate the problem of whether the psak is effective, so you're makabel the dayanim, so nevertheless there's a special issur that's chal on the nidon and on the dayan, is not allowed to judge. Lefneim v'lo lefnei hagiotos. The chiddush of shlichusayu is that the mumchin now are mochel on their kavod to the dayanim hajotim. Okay, so the problem is one of kavod, maybe not kavod in the standard hilchos deo sense, maybe a kavod of choshen mishpat even, but still it's nitan lemechil al yidei dayanim. Okay, so what's very nice here is that we're not using shlichusayu as agency or right of attorney where you're giving over your legal rights to somebody else. You're using shlichusayu as a melitza for mechila. Right? I designate you as my agent. Implicit in that designation is that I have no kpeda that it be done by myself. Okay, so we're weakening the whole legal connotation of shlichusayu. A third shita is put forth by the Ktzos in Simen Gimel Sif Katan Aleph. The Ktzos is dealing with the shita of Rambam. Rambam paskin like Ravacha Brei Duravika that midaraisa afilu chad nami kasher. That implies that midaraisa you don't need mumchin. Yet, the Gemara in Bava Kamma is still invoking Shlichus Ayu. If midaraisa, you don't need mumchin to dan cases, so what do you need the heter of Shlichus Ayu for? We know that midaraisa, you don't need mumchin. Okay. To strengthen the kasha, the other Rishonim appeal to the Gemara in Bava Kamma on Pei Dalet and the Gemara in Gittin, which imply that you're invoking Shlichus Ayu in Hodas Vavos, to prove that we paskin that you need three mumchin. Because the only reason that you need to invoke Shlichus Ayu for Hodas Vavos is if you paskin that midaraisa, we actually require three mumchin. But the Rambam who paskins that midaraisa chad nami kasher, which implies you don't need mumchin, so then why in the world do you need to invoke Shlichus Ayu as well? So the Ktos's answer is very simple. Is that Shlichus Ayu is not meant to obviate kavod, nor is it meant to obviate the effectiveness of the psakdin. It's simply there to allow you to be kofa. Meaning, the Rambam holds that a dayan echad is kosher ladun, but yet he doesn't have the koach to impose his psakdin on the litigants. In order to be kofa, there you need the power of Shlichus Ayu. Okay, so it's very interesting. According to the Ktos, you have the result. The Bezdin will paskin for you. And you'll say, why do I have to listen to why is your psak valid? The answer is, oh, because hajodos are not mikshirim. Torah allows me to judge. Then he wants to enforce his din upon you, and you say, by what right do you have to enforce your psak? He says, oh, because I'm the agent of Dayanei Eretz Yisrael. Because enforcement comes from a different power from the actual right of adjudication. Yeah.
And it's already
Tosos? It's against Tosos, I thought. But are you talking Tosos on Gimon Beis?
Beis.
No, Tos there, I thought it was just saying that the Gzeres HaKosuvah of Lefnei Avlof, below Lefnei Hedyotos, gives you Koach Kfiyah.
Right. Which is why you need Shlichus Ayu for
Rabbi Yossi. For Rabbi Yossi and Gittin. But the Gemara in Bava Kamma also invokes Shlichus Ayu. There, it's explaining, there the Gemara is using Shlichus Ayu even for Odos Valvos. Right, that's the... The case of called Milsa Dispa Chesron case and Milsa Dishchia. I don't think the Gemara there invokes the Fnam below the Fnei Hedyotos.
Either? Does it invoke either?
The Gemara in Gittin does, which tells us Kasha, why you need both.
No, I'm saying the Gemara will come and invoke either. The simple reading of that Tosos is telling you that what the Gemara is talking about in Gittin is for Fia, what the Gemara is talking about in Sanhedrin is for effectiveness.
Right.
I mean,
I thought simple pshat and Tosos is that Tosos is asking why do we need two different sources. One source is for the koach ladun, the second source is for the koach kfiya. Okay. Tosas never completes the equation that therefore you need Shlichus Ayu specifically for the Koach HaKfiyah. Okay. Right? So I think it's a very different suggestion to say that there are two kochos given to Dayanim, okay? And to say that in cases where we do away with the requirement of Mumchin, that you require a separate Koach for Kfiyah. Okay, you might have thought that Mijabanan, if you have a heter to judge, so then Mijabon, and also you have a koach to be kofa. That's like built into the takana of Nilas Delas. Right? The Nilas Delas between Lovin, so we give you koach to judge and to enforce it.
So you think that in our cases, and Sanhedrin, they'd
be able to be kofa? Tosos, you might have been. Yeah, absolutely.
You might have been.
According to Tosos, that could be the psak. Right? I think you're right in the sense that, and this is what the Ktos assumes, that if you want to argue like he's arguing, then you have to assume the distinction of Tosos. Right? Meaning that in order to argue that Shlichus Ayu is there specifically for the Koach Kfiyah, you have to assume like Tosos that there are two different kochos given to Dayanim. But to argue what Tosos is saying, you don't necessarily have to buy into the Ktosos' Chiddush. That's, I think, the relationship is. Meaning, I think the Ktos implies Tosos, the Tosos doesn't imply the Ktos. Okay, so we have three different ways of explaining what the purpose of Shlichus Ayu is. Again, according to the Rashba, it's the mechanism of allowing the Psakdin to be effective. According to the Ran and the Ramban, it's simply a din of mechilas kavra de'anim. According to the Ketzos in Gimel Aleph, it's a koach kfiya given to the dayanim. Now, we move to a seventh question. How does shlichusayu work? Okay. To put it differently, are we dealing with a real form of shlichus, or is it a melitza to speak about takana draban? Okay. So here we have just seemingly a machlokas we shown him. The Rivash in a tshuva on Reish Chaf Ches says very explicitly that ein zeh shlichus mamish. So it's not real shlichus. We're just pretending as if we're shluchim. It means that there's a takana from Bezen HaGadol that you don't need smicha. And we call that shlichus. Yeah, but it's not the shlichus that you'll find in the Gemara in the second parak of Kedushin.
Yeah. Who is this?
This is the Rivash and the Shulam Reish Chaf Ches. He's very explicit we're not dealing with shlichus. Rabbeinu Baruch Beretz Yavan. And Bava Kama on Pedal and Mabes says very sharply that the shlichus to Bnei Eretz Yisrael Klav Dinan, sorry, the shlichus Dayane Eretz Yisrael Klav Dinan, the kivan she'ein bo davar shenechadesh midatenu, since there's nothing that we're going to be mechadesh on our own, havalek ilu hein poskin adin v'shilchum lohotzi. Okay, so according to Rabbeinu Baruch, the point is that look, every precedent is already fully determined by the Piskei Dinim in Eretz Yisrael. So that's you open a Shulchan Aruch, and every psak is already determined by Bez Din. So it's as if Bez Din HaGadol already paskin. We're simply applying those laws that were already determined. Okay, so we're mamash shluchim. Right, it's as if when the Shulchan Aruch, let's say, take an anachronism, when the Shulchan Aruch wrote the Shulchan Aruch, he told you how to paskin in every case. I'm now just implementing his psak. Okay. This is the Rabbeinu Baruch Meretz Yavan and Baruch Hama Pedal and Mbez. In Bar Ilan, they call him Rabbeinu Baruch Meretz Svarad. What? Rabbeinu Baruch Meretz Svarad. Or Rabbeinu Baruch HaSvaradi. The Or Zeruah always refers to him as Rabbeinu Baruch Meretz Yavan from Greece. Okay, but.
He's Svarad, what's the difference between them anyways?
What?
He's Svarad, all these.
But Eretz Yavan is not Svarad.
What's the difference between all these Svaradis anyways?
But Eretz Yavan is not far.
Spain, Greece, Algeria, Arabia.
Yeah, there's a raya to already pleat him already in the 12th century. And that's the answer. He came from Svarad and he ended up in Greece.
That's just like false, like empirically false. Like, does he not recognize that there's like Chiddush Halacha?
I say he doesn't recognize that. I will say that we're simply implementing the law.
So he does not recognize that, like that there is the existence of Chiddush Halacha.
Right. He'll say that we're simply implementing or combining dinim that are already established. You think that's crazy?
No.
What?
No.
So what do you mean that does he not recognize the empirical evidence that he's wrong?
Wait, you think it's crazy, or are you trying to get him to say it's crazy because you think it's crazy? Or?
No, I think it's a big chiddush to look at halacha as so fully determined, right? It's like we know the answer to every case, and it's just a matter of applying it. I think it's a big chiddush, but I think there are tons of people who definitely do look at it that way, right? We're simply implementing the laws, not like deciding them, right? The shlichus dayani eretz yisrael klav dinan, the kivan she'ein bo davar shenechadesh midatenu, havalei ki'ilu hein poskin hadin, v'shilchum lahotzi. What? Right, there's nothing for us to innovate from our own minds.
And then the next line.
And therefore it's as if they paskined everything and they just told us to carry it out. Some achronim give the mashal, they say it's as if the Bezen Eretz Yisrael are the shoftim, and we're the shotrim to simply implement it. And it's like we already have the psakdin issued.
The next line is midi dehavi avdas lavos de'ein behem davar chiddush.
Right. I mean, what's to figure out in a case of somebody lent money? Somebody lent money, the other guy denies it. So figure it out. What's he towing? Is he towing a shtav as liberaticha? Does he have a shtar? Right?
You don't think he's just saying that because it's so obvious the Dayanir Yisrael gave us the authority to judge?
She'ein bo davar shenechadish midateinu havelek ilu hein poskin adin. It's because there's nothing to innovate.
Right, but it might be because it's so easy that he gave us the latitude to do it, not that we're relying on.
Yeah, but how do you fit that into Ein bo davar shenechadish midatenu?
That's his clause saying it's so obvious. Pesach is so obvious.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't see how that would imply there's nothing to innovate.
What?
Yeah. Let's say it's easy, but let's say it's not already determined.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are clear-cut cases. You know, this is subtle. I guess it's just applying it, or there's giving us a letter we can do it.
I mean, are you saying, let's say there's a novel case that's, like, never been, or, like, the logical structure of the case has never been discussed before?
Right, so then, it would be an obvious case. You wouldn't have the latitude to judge that case.
That case wouldn't be obvious, according to you? I thought you were trying to say there are cases which are obvious but are not determined.
No, it could be determined, but I don't know. It's just, I'm saying conceptually, it doesn't have to be.
Let's say they're determined, but they're very difficult.
Yeah.
Right? So the Sanhedrin sat for 40 days, right? Lechem lo achalnu, mayim lo shasinu, and they figured out the psa.
Yeah, so as long as lo nechadish, but it's not that they're shochem applying it, it's just that they're still the decisors. We're still seeing them as the.
But it's not a matter of, like, we're viewing them, like, because it's an easy case, we're viewing them as paskani it. There's no entity in Eretz Yisrael now. Right? It's just that we're viewing this as applying a precedent that they set. That's how I understood it. But where do you differ?
I'm just saying it's not just applying precedents. I mean, they're paskani it, but we're not seeing them as the show chairman, just applying them as up there. They're the ones posturing the Shiloh.
They being the Hidyotos.
Yeah, I think it's true.
I don't know. I don't see it in the Rebbeinu Baruch. But. Okay, so I think maybe according to Rebbeinu Baruch Meretz Yavam, so we're a little bit closer in the camp of Shlichos, right? Because he's saying that what really happened here is that the Beis Din, let's say implicit in Shulchan Aruch, is that all these cases are paskin, and it's, by the way, if you live in a community where this case happens, your job is to implement it. Right? So there's actually an implicit agency, Minoy Shlichos, from the Sanhedrin HaGadol, that if you live in this kind of city, then you have to implement this thing.
Does that mean there are set principles that we follow that we're supposed to do, or is that like, if this happens, then we do that?
I think this claim is saying that those two options are the same. Right? I mean, obviously, like, Bezdin is not just looking at, like, historical records of, like, the Sanhedrin HaGadol and saying, oh, this case is that case, so apply it. Now, you're still figuring out tricky things. But they'll say, oh, applying the principles that are in front of you, that's simply implementing.
Is that some chudish?
What do you mean, is it some chudish? Is that a chudish idea that applying principles is... But isn't that what Sanhedrin HaGadol is doing? Or presumably, they're applying the principles that were given at Sinai. So then just say it, Sanhedrin HaGadol is not being mechadish anything either. But that would obviate the whole need for Shlichus Ayu. No? Unless you want to say that, oh, the Sanhedrin HaGadol has the koach they have the koach to innovate things and we don't. What? Yeah, you'll say they have a koach to make new takanos and even things that aren't precedent for. Maybe. Okay.
Does he want to say that because it's like he wants to keep Shlichus Ayu within
So what I think is very nice about Rebbeinu Baruch Meretz Yavan is that he has a beautiful explanation for Milsa de Shchicha, right? Because presumably all the common cases are already discussed by Sanhedrin HaGadol, right? A rare case that requires some sort of innovation, which I think is what he points out there also. That's like his raya that this is the right hesper. But in cases that are rare, then you don't have precedent. Okay? This clearly can't be the way the Yad Ramah understood Milsa D'Shchicha, because the Yad Ramah held that new things could become Shchiach. Right? So, let's say something becomes Shchiach after the Sanhedrin HaGadol already has all its precedents. Right? So, according to the Svar Rebbeinu Baruch Meretz Yavan, it should be irrelevant, because Shchiach let it Shchiach nowadays. But if it wasn't Shchiach in terms of the precedents that you're invoking, then you can't say that it was already paskin by Sanhedrin HaGadol. No, but the point is that you're appealing to a precedent. If you're appealing to a precedent, you need a precedent that's already set.
But let's say the precedent is in cases of Shia, which has to include those then, but that's the precedent, Shia. Perhaps now, if it's become Shia, it falls into that original category. That original
category. I don't see how that would be possible.
And of course, the Adorama, you're not using new principles to judge these new Shia cases. It just falls into. I mean, he just reinterpreted Shia. That's the only thing that doesn't fall into this.
No, but some of the Adorama thinks that you are using new principles.
I mean, based on all the judge cases of Chaval, they have the principles down.
Presumably not every case of... I mean, for rare cases, the point is that there's no presumption that Bez Nagadol already solved all these kinds of cases. And because they're so rare that you won't have enough precedents. But Estamo, Dos Avos case, or Gzela case, all those cases were already exhausted by Bez Din. But an obscure case, maybe Bez Nagadol one or two, but it's not enough to exhaust the different variations of a case that you could have.
Presumably, like, the cases which were less common, less shiach before, were just the general field itself. It's not like all of a sudden the obscure cases started becoming common, it's just the general field itself. So the general principle is already in place.
I don't know. The way I took the Adorama is that, actually, these things were very rare at one point. And then, at a certain point in time, they became very frequent. But let's say... probably after the Sanhedrin Agadol had a chance to start hearing those kinds of cases. Okay, so let's move to a final, an eighth area of discussion, and this is the final one. How seriously, or to what extent are we invoking Shlichus Ayu? That's the previous question, was, are we appealing to Shlichus Ayu as a kind of Shlichus or simply as a Takan? Here we want to know, what level or what stature of smuchin or mumchin could be applied to the hedyotos via the mechanism of shlichus ayu? Okay, so we know from the Gemara that clearly they're allowed to be done in these cases, but are we going to treat these hedyotos as smuchin mamish or as really being the smuchin? Or are we going to say, no, they have some sort of quasi-in-between status? Okay, so let's look at a few nafkaminas. The Mordechai in Shvuas in Siman Tavshin Samach Aleph says very clearly that even though there's a chiyuv for the litigants to stand before Dayan and Mumchin, as Man Azeh, if you don't have Mumchin, there's no chiyuv for them to stand. Okay, so Mordechai and Shavuos Tavshin Samchal. So clearly he's holding that Shlichus Ayu doesn't endow the Hedyotos with the status of Mumchin. Torah says, V'amdu Shnei Anashim Asher La Mariv, Lifnei Elohim. That status doesn't apply to the Hedyotos. Even though you're invoking Shlichus Ayu. Yeah. A second nafkamina to this question comes from the Ritva in Makos on Dav Zayin and Aleph. The Ritva says, explaining the Mishnah on why somebody who's boreach from a bezdin in Eretz Yisrael cannot be soser dino in a bezdin in Chutz Laaretz, and he says that since we're dealing with shlichus ayu, so it's as if you went back to the very same court. The court in Babel is a shliach of the court in Eretz Yisrael. So if you run away from the Bezdin in Eretz Yisrael and show up in the court in Babel, it's as if you came back to the same place. Lashon of the Britain Makos is, Kivin the Shlichus Ayu Kav Dinan, Ke Oso Bezdin Hu, Ve'eno Ke Bezdin Acher.
Why is that a function of the last question?
Because you might say that you're a shliach, but to be a shliach of a court doesn't mean that you're back in the same court itself. Right? For example, you might say that a Bezdin, an American court, is a shliach of the Supreme Court, right? They're derivatives or they're agents. But you could still be soser dino in a higher court.
They're definitely not shlichim of them. They might be derivatives, like they might in some way gain their power from the top, but they're not like sent out by the Supreme Court to like do their bidding.
From the way that we have in halacha, it seems like, let's say, all courts are shluchim of the Sanhedrin Agadol. Right? They have their minui from them, and they're established in a place.
Okay, well, in that sense, it's definitely not like actual shluchim, right? In that sense, that everything derives from the Sanhedrin Agadol, it's definitely not actual shluchim.
Something you could have a real, a court could be a shliach of another court, right? But you'll still say that there's two different entities.
I thought like the idea of like real shluchim, like you're saying before, like that if as if the people in Eretz Yisrael pasken.
Right.
So here, in the case of Borea... Okay.
To put it differently, it's clear that according to Rabbeinu Baruch Meretz Yavan, I think that this Ritter would not apply. Because he doesn't mean, let's say, he doesn't mean that you're a shliach in the sense that you're the same entity. He means that you're applying a psak din that was given by that court. Okay? So it's not that you showed up to the same place. Right? Rabbeinu Baruch Meretz Yavan will say that this Bezdin doesn't have the authority to overturn a precedent that they're relying on.
Also,
the Ritva is invoking a different rationale.
How does having a status of like Mokfin mean that they're like the exact same court as the one in Eretz Yisrael? How is that sufficient to make them the same court?
Well, he's not saying that because they have the status of Mumchen. He's just saying that the Shlichus Sayu itself.
I thought you were giving this as an afkamina of whether they have the status of Mumchen or like they retain a dual status.
I don't know. I'm taking this category as how seriously are we taking the shlichus ayu, right? So one nafkamina of that is whether they have a full shem mumchen. Another nafkamina is whether you want to say this is the exact same court. Okay. But you're right. This latter one is not so much a function of their shem mumchen. Okay. Is this the last nafkamina not clear?
I would sooner put it in the previous category.
Here with Isaac.
Yeah. It's neither the Rivash nor Rabbeinu Baruch. Because Rabbeinu Baruch doesn't say as much as he says Shlich was the Dina Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't mean that you're actually the Shlich. It means that you're the Shlich Lahotzi. You're not the Shlich in the entire action. You're only the Shlich in the last part, which is enforcing the din. You're not the Shlich in coming up with the din. The din is already decided.
And here he's saying that even in the... Even in the, I guess, the deliberation, you're a shliach. I don't know. I don't see this so much as a function of whether we're taking shlichus sayu seriously. I see this more of a function. I'd say you could have held that we're taking shlichus sayu very seriously, but you're not holding it as the same entity. Okay, I mean, you could hold that you're an agent of the court. But it's not. But it's a step further to say, oh, it's like you turn back to the same address.
Step further in the direction of what I'm saying.
I think you're fine. I guess we could put it this way: the Ritva is definitely assuming that we're dealing with some real form of shlichus. Okay, but he's going even further, and he's saying that we could view, let's say, the Bez Nagod on Yerushalayim as if they're standing here in this court. What?
That's what shlichus is.
It's a very strong reading. Okay, so I take this last category as asking how strong is the shlichus. Right, that's what I see as significant here. Meaning, if you want to say shlichus on kemoso mamish, then I was considered a mumcha. Kemoso mamish, that's as if you turn back to the same address. Right, I thought you and Isaac are saying that no, this is not a function of that. This is a function as to whether this is considered to be real shlichus. Right, so I'm saying it's more than that. It presupposes that. But I think the real chiddush here is that it's kemoso mamish.
That's just a question. Shlichus in like all of whenever we talk about shlichus ever, it's how much is it kemoso, and you're just saying that we're taking a particular stance on that issue, right, at the same time as taking a stance on the issue of whether or not this is real shlichus.
Alright. I wouldn't have put this into general shlichus. I mean, I would have thought that. Even if you hold shluchos shalom k'mosam amish, you wouldn't necessarily hold it as if you came back to the same person. That's
Isn't the question in general, the last question of like whether shluchos or not, also just an afkamina of like how serious they were taking the shluchos?
The past question?
Yeah.
No. The last question, I think, is a question of whether or not we're viewing this as agency or viewing this as takana.
Yeah, but why? Okay.
According to the Rivash, shluchos sayu is a melitza to mean that we're working on their behalf.
Right, and how serious it takes shluchos sayu is like how much are we... people from the top to the people on the bottom, respect the different things. Like, wouldn't the question of whether it's agency or takana, should be an afkamina of that?
I would not have thought so, because I would have thought that you could be a full takana, but the takana is that your power is a derivative of the power of the Bezna Gadol. The Mela, you can't be so sardina. Yeah, that's the way I'm looking at it. But if there's like strong if there's like a strong reason to reformulate it, I'd be happy to reconsider. Reiner, where do you stand? What?
I was not following.
Okay. Let me give a third nafkamina to what I think is the related question. The Ramban has the suggestion that in a case of toin tainas ganav bepikadon, okay, so you have a ganav, you have a shomer, and he claims that it was stolen, and he claims as much in Bezdin, and it turns out that he took the object himself. Okay? So the din is that really he has the status of a ganav, and he'd have to pay kefo. Ramban says that if he makes this claim, the shomer claims that it was stolen in Bezdin, so he's not chayv to pay the kefo. In a bezin of hidyotos. Okay, why not? So the shach in Choshe Mishpat Aleph, Sifkatan Tes Zayin says, that's because bizman hazeh, if you're nishba b'fnei bezdin, it's not considered a shvua because the bezin is only a bezin of hidyotos. Okay. Meaning it's because we're dealing with hidyotos here that the shvua is not considered a shvua b'fnei bezdin. Even though we're in Bokin Shlichusayu. Shach is an Aleph Tes Zayin. So we're in Bokin Shlichusayu. Oh, but it's not kebezdin mamish l'inyan that his claim is considered a claim to trigger toin tainus ganav bepikadon. The Nesivis disagrees. As the Nesivis in Aleph Dalet, he says, according to the Shach, you'll undermine the entire system of Bezdin. Because let's say we'll have Adam Zomamin, who testify in our court of Hedyotos, via Shlichusayu. And then, let's say, we'll have Mumchin come back through Bias Mashiach. We won't be able to try the Adam Zomamin. Why? Because they only gave their testimony in front of a bezin shel hadyotos, which is not real edus. Meaning, just like the shach wanted to claim that the tain of the ganav is not fully effective in bezdin because the bezin shel hadyotos, despite shlichusayu, so too you'll say that any edus of edim zomin is not considered effective if they have bezin shel hadyotos, even with shlichusayu. Shach says it can't be. The nesiva says it can't be. Okay, it says ela vadai. Dividvarim she'avdinon shlichusayu havakilu nasa bifnei bezin shel shluchim. Any time we invoke shlichusayu, it's as if it was done in front of bezin shel mumchim. Very strong language. Now, I would ask you: do you think that the nesivas here is disagreeing with the Mordechai? Would you say that the nesivas is disagreeing with the Mordechai? The Mordechai holds it, says you don't have to stand up. Or not, right? He's saying it's true that everything that's done al-yidei hadyotos through shlichusayu is as if it was done al-yidei mumchin, but that's in terms of the psak din, right? Not necessarily in terms of the niceties accompanying the psak din. They're even sharper. The Nesivis himself says, so why does the Ramban claim that toin tainus beganav bepikadon doesn't work in the bezin shel hadyotos? I just said that everything that's done by hadyotos considers done as if it was done al-yidei mumchin. And the Nesivis has a very sharp answer. He says, we don't apply shlichusayu for knasos. So the Bezdin only has the koach of mumchin with respect to their ability to be done on the keren. But since the shaila of the kfira of the shomer is with respect to the knas of kefel, so Bezdin's not empowered to hear that claim. If Bezdin's not empowered through shlichusayu to hear that claim, mela, the claim is as if it was done shalom b'fnei bezdin. So yes, it's as if we have mumchin, but only with respect to areas where we're able to apply shlichusayu. Okay, so it's a very, very nice distinction. When you have shlichusayu, it's as if they're kimumchin, but it doesn't mean that it's as if they're kimumchin the whole davar in what they hear.
They only have to stand up for the karen part
of
the case.
What?
You only have to stand up for the karen part.
Huh? Very good. Okay, so I think here you have three nafkamina to this last question. You have the of how seriously we're taking the shlichusayu. Okay, are we going to go so far as to say that you require a midah? That's the discussion in the Mordechai. Are you going to say like the shach that they're considered hedyotos with respect to the taina because we don't have mumchim bizman hazeh? Or will you say like the nesivis that any time you apply shlichusayu in the mail, they're automatically like shluchim, like a mumchim, except for when we can't apply shlichusayu? Okay, i.e. for Dinei Knasos. The third nafkamina, I think, is this question of the Ritva and Makus. Maybe you guys are right that we should really have said this before. that do you say that when you leave a Bezin Eretz Yisrael and go to Bezin Chutz La'aretz, that's as if you came back to that same Bezin in Eretz Yisrael and Mela Ein Sosrin Dina. Yeah. I'm reading the Ritva saying that we apply Shlichus Sayu so strongly that's as if you showed up at the same door of that initial Bezin. Okay? That's the final area of discussion for the Din of Shlichus Sayu. Okay, so that's the overview for this evening.